If you would, turn to John, the third chapter. I'm going to read over there. I'm going to read down to at least the 21st verse, but I'm not going to read it off. I'm going to be teaching out of that this morning. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here to start off with. But I want to talk about something. I want to talk about Nick at Night, what I want to talk about. And not the Nickelodeon channel that we all know, but yeah, most of us have been in church any length of time. We know who Nicodemus is. And if you'll give me the leeway this morning, I just want to call him Nick. You'll know who I'm talking about. We're going to talk about Nick at Night. You know, Nick was a very religious guy. As a matter of fact, he's probably one of the most religious guys there probably was in that day and age. But we'll talk about him, and I'm going to study a little bit about his life. And I want to study a little bit about his life here this morning. If you found John, the third chapter, let's stand, please, in honor of God's word, if you can, this morning. I'm going to read about three verses here, probably. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want you to get that this morning. When I'm talking about Nicodemus, I want you to, out of this is what I want you to get this morning, is that third verse, because it is so important to everybody in here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he says it, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. Father, I thank you, Father, for another beautiful day. I thank you for this chance to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord. I praise you and give you all the glory that you so rightly deserve. I thank you for those souls represented here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would open up the hearts. I pray that you would open up the minds here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we would search our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord, and then, Father, to come to know you, and that we know you as our personal Savior. I pray that above all things this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that we could draw closer to thee with your word this morning. And I ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you this morning. I told you, Nick was a very religious guy. He really was. Everything he had done, the thing of it is, everything that he had done, he had done out of tradition and out of religion up to this point. Everything that he had done. In fact, if you were to look at his life, and if you were just to study his life and look at it, you would have seen him going to church every time the doors were open. He did. He went to the synagogue every time that it was. He was a strictly religious man and was dedicated to Judaism, very dedicated to it. When he would walk down the streets of that town, when he would walk down the streets of Judaism, he would be wearing the right clothes. He'd be wearing everything right, everything, his robe, his prayer shawl, all that kind of stuff. He wore that. If you would have seen him walking down, you would have thought, man, there goes a religious guy. As a matter of fact, the people of that day and age, when they seen him coming, you know what they would have done? They would have stepped aside and they would have honored him because they said, you know what? He is a man of God, is what they were saying. You know, the people would show him respect. And he said he was very well respected by the people, very well. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. I want to tell you something. Nick knew the Bible as it was known at that time, the first five books of the Bible. He knew it backwards and forwards. He could probably quote it to you right off the top of his head. He knew it that well. That's how well he knew the Bible. And my point is, if you would look at Nick's life through the lens of today's society, through today's church, he checked off all the boxes. You know that? He went to church. Check. You know what he did? He read his Bible. Check. He was a church leader. You could check that off. Amen. Sunday school teacher. Check it off. Even with all that on his resume, even with all that being said, Jesus answered and said unto him this. And these words need to resonate with everybody here this morning. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. That's how important it was. You see, Nick knew all about God, but he didn't know God. I'm telling you, there's numbers of people. I say this a lot, but I truly believe this. There's people that know God, but they do not know who God is. They don't have a personal relationship with God. They do not have a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Back up to verses, if you go back up to the second chapter and those last few verses, this is why I know this, because you all know that whenever the Bible was written, it was written like a letter, don't you? There was no breaks in it. There was no chapters in it. It was written just like me and you would write a letter to somebody. They went through and they broke it up into chapters. The last three verses of verse 2 should have been included in the first few verses of the third chapter. But what it says here in that verse, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem," this is John 2:23, "at the Passover, in the feast day, and many believed in his name, and they saw the miracles that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them." Why? Because he knew them. It goes on to say, and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I want to tell you something this morning. God knows what's in my heart this morning. God knows what's in your heart this morning. We will never fool anybody. We will never, ever fool. Well, I mean, we may fool people here on this earth, but we are never going to fool God. God knows what's in our heart. He knows where we stand. He knows what we are. So whenever I tell you this morning that you must be born again, God knows this morning if you're born again. Just because you check off all the boxes does not mean that you're born again. Amen? Amen. I've said this at 14th Avenue. I've said it here before in preaching. Just because your name is on the books of the church does not make you saved. The only thing that saves you is Jesus Christ accepting me into your heart. And it says we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And I'll get into that here in a little bit. That's what brought this sermon on, because you mentioned that the other night. Be it born of the water and of the Spirit. We have to be born of the Spirit of God. And it says this, now when he was in Jerusalem, I'll read it again, at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles that he did, no one, if you read this Bible, even the Pharisees and Sadducees never doubted the miracles that Jesus did. As a matter of fact, they sometimes tried to blame it on, they said he was an agent of Satan. That's some of the work that they did. But they never doubted the miracles that he did. For the miracles that he did could not be doubted. They could not. They believed on him because of that. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed that any man should testify, for he knew what was in a man. The Bible, praise God. In Luke 16, it also tells us, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men. But it says, God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Listen, he knows our hearts. Listen, I don't care how much men esteem things out here in this world. I don't care what they hold me up as. That ain't going to be nothing when I stand before God one of these days, because God knows the heart of all of us, and the heart has to be changed. I believe there are many today who think they're Christians just because they've checked off all these boxes. They follow religion. They follow traditions. They follow a set of rules. They do this. They don't do that. They join a church. They have their names on church registers. All this kind of stuff. But put just the right amount of money in the collection plate. I cannot emphasize enough. I don't care if you put a penny in the offering plate or if you put $1 million in that offering plate. That is not what saves you. It is not what saves you. It is Jesus Christ and His precious blood. They're morally good people. Morally good people. But deep down in their hearts, they have never had the born-again experience, you know, that Jesus talked about. I'm here to tell you, there's a born-again experience. There is. You don't hear it preached much anymore. I hope I preach it enough around here, but there is a born-again experience that happens the moment that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. I want to tell you something. You know this morning whether or not you were born again. You know it. You know that deep down in your heart. You know that if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, and I say this without apology this morning, these words are in red. Jesus said them, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. The word, you know what it means? Again means right here. Look it up. It says it means from above. You have to be born from above. It's a spiritual birth. It's not. It is a spiritual rebirth is what it is. That's what it means when it talks about above. Look it up. I'm not, this is what the Bible says. You have to be born again from above. The supernatural birth. Plain and simple. That's what it is. That's what it means. You must be born again. The scripture also tells us in verse 2, the same, talking about Nicodemus, talking about Nick, he said he came to Jesus by night. Why? That's why I'm naming the sermon Nick at Night. Because he came to Jesus. If you look at that sermon, if you look at that verse, chapter 3 down through, we'll get into it. It goes on down through there to say, it is, for God so loved the world. Do you realize that was given to Nicodemus and that was given to him at night? And that Jesus told him all this stuff? That ye must be born again? That whosoever will? What a sermon! That if I would just read all that scripture down through there, that should be enough to save the entire world right there. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, is what Jesus said. What a sermon! And if Nick would have been caught talking to Jesus, he'd have been thrown out of the Jewish religion because they considered Jesus a blasphemer. That's what they did. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Did you ever notice that? It said, we know. There was other people in the Sanhedrin and other people in the Jewish leadership that believed. Not all of them didn't believe, but there were some, but they were afraid to speak up. My Bible tells me, you know what, if you're ashamed of me, he said, I'll be ashamed of you one of these days. But he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, and will say it again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus made a statement. Old Nick made a statement. Does it not sound like Jesus didn't even pay attention to that statement? Because he knew what was in his heart. He knew the reason why he was asking. Jesus answered him that. And he said, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you ever think about that for a minute? Nick, you can't understand. What he was telling Nicodemus was this. You cannot understand spiritual things without being born again. None of us in here. And I'm just going to raise my hand to be the first. You cannot. I can teach. We can preach about spiritual things to you till we're blue in the face. You will not understand it if you have not been born again. It'll seem but nonsense to you. It'll seem that way. Nick, even with all your, he's telling him, he said, Nicodemus, even with all your religious teaching, even with all the Bible that you have, you can't understand spiritual things without being born again. Oki used to teach here all the time about a gentleman that he knew. And Oki would say this, and Oki said, I forget the guy's name, I don't know if he even mentioned it. But he said, this guy knew the Bible. He knew the Bible. He knew it. He said that. He said you could talk to him about the Bible. He could quote scripture. And Oki asked him. He said, "Have you been saved?" He said, "Oh no, I've never been saved. I don't go to church." But he knew the Bible. Just knowing the Bible is no—that's what I'm saying. It does not save you. It will not save you. Many since then, listen. He said, "Nick, even with all your religion, even with all the Bible that you have, I'm going to tell you something that you lack. He said, you need to be born again. You need to be born again if you want to see God's kingdom, if you want to see the heaven, kingdom of heaven. What is it? I'll tell you what, many down through the years have done this exact same thing that Nicodemus has done. They've done it. When you try to explain faith to them, they don't understand what faith really is. They can't comprehend how it is that we can believe God can take care of situations in our life. We believe that He can do that. You talk to people sometimes, and I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about the unchurched, and unfortunately, I'm talking about some of them that have been in church all their lives. You talk to them about faith, and they do not understand spiritual things. They cannot comprehend that. When you explain spiritual things to them, when you try to explain salvation to them, try to explain just how good God is, there are those that still cannot understand that. They can't comprehend because they have not been born again from above. That's what he's saying. Jesus said in Matthew 7:6, you've all heard this scripture. It says this, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, and neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. I got to thinking, what does a string of pearls actually, a true string of pearls actually cost today? You want to take a guess? $22,000, a true string of pearls. And I was thinking, yeah, if I'd take them out there and throw them into a swine, they would just walk over top, they would have no concept of what the value of it is. Many today do not know the true value and the true concept of being born again and what Jesus actually did. And what he has done to save their souls, they trampled under their feet. They don't see the value in it. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Someone has not been born again will not comprehend what salvation really means to them. Will not. I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he was talking about years ago. This was an old preacher. He's done passed away, but they had him on television today for a memorial service. But they had him on there, and he was talking about whenever he got saved and how that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was upon people's lives, and how that all the people would do, they all that they wanted and all that they prayed for was to see people saved, and that's how he got saved. He got to the point where he's playing in the bars and playing music, but his wife took her kids and went to church, and she got saved. And she said, I'm taking these kids to church. And eventually, he got saved. He said he went to the bars one night, they were having revival service. And he said that the revival services went on all week, and he'd went a little bit. And he said he started getting convicted, and the power of God just started convicting him. Well, this one night he decided he wasn't going to go. He was going to go to the bar. He said he was there playing. He said the whole time, he said he was under such bad conviction that he said he couldn't even hardly stand it. And he just told the Lord, he said, Lord, let me get through this and I'll never be back again. He never was back in a bar again. He got saved. And he preached up until he died. Now his son is preaching now. But I'm here to tell you, listen, convicting power of God, you don't hear it much anymore. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I can talk to you about that stuff. We can all talk about it, but unless you really have a desire and a hunger to learn, it's just foolishness of you. Unless you were born again, you will not see these things. You'll not care what they're about. They're foolishness to you. The things of God will not be revealed to someone unless they are saved, unless they are born again. Amen? They will not be. Those things of God cannot or will not be revealed to you. They cannot comprehend it. That's why so many things we talk about. That's why so many things we talk about concerning the Bible and what have to be accepted by faith. There's a lot of stuff in that Bible that's not going to make sense in the natural eyes. Amen? That's why it tells us that we have to accept those things by faith. We're not going to have the answers to everything, but we have to accept them by faith. And you're not going to discern it. You're not going to understand that through natural eyes. It has to be the spiritual eyes that we have to look through. That's why we talk in Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but when I come to God, I was willing, able, and ready at that point to get to know something better in my life than what I had. And when it would come to that point, whenever I got to my last bit of hope, that's when I come to Jesus. That's when I got to know. That's why I know you have to be born again. There are things in this world, again, that will never make sense. Salvation is one of them. Amen? It will not make sense. How can we get our lives be totally changed from the inside out? How can somebody that was a total drug addict, somebody that was so dependent on drugs, they could not even comprehend doing a day without them. And Jesus Christ comes into their lives and they're changed. Is there an answer for that in the natural eyes? No. Because you must be born again. You must be born again. Amen. That's what does it. That's where the change comes. Jesus didn't beat around the bush when he was talking to Nicodemus. He didn't. He told him this, religion will not save you, Nick. He said the church will not save you. He said just reading the Bible will not save you. He told him, he said, your good works will not save you. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. Nick's response is not unlike some of what I've talked to down through the years. It is. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He said, what are you talking about being born? Okay, I'm going to give you my opinion on being born of the water and born of the Spirit. I believe he's talking about the natural man, and I believe he's talking about the spiritual man. Amen. When you're in that womb, you're in the water. When you're born, there's a lot of water. They were born of the water. You're natural. You're born once. That's the fleshly part of it. He's saying, then you've got to be born of the Spirit. And I believe you have to be born of the Spirit. My Bible tells me that whenever you're born again, whenever you're saved, he will send a comforter. That comforter is the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God will go with you and direct your life and show you. You need not. Need not. There's times in my life that the Spirit has convicted me and has convicted me of something that I've said or done. And you know what you're thinking? Well, God, I don't know if that's wrong or right, but listen to me. God convicts. The Spirit convicts. And you better mind it. You better listen to it. What are you talking? It happens. To the church and to the end, understanding spiritual truth through a carnal eye will not work. It cannot work. Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 12 again, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Nicodemus was wanting to find out this. He's wanting to get an answer so he could understand it earthly. And it cannot be that way, and it never will be that way. I've told this story here, I know I have, about Clell Welt. And Clell was a good friend of mine. He's already went on to his reward. He died, and he died almost 100 years old. But whenever my son was having his surgeries, I told you this, that man come up to that church, he said, God sent me here, Dave. He come in, this was before Brian even had a surgery, he said, that boy will be bigger than you one day. That's what God told me to tell you. And you know, in the natural eyes, you're thinking, well, how do you know that? He told me because God inspired, the Spirit inspired to tell me you that, Dave. He told me that, and that boy is bigger than I am today. I'm just here to tell you, God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Through the natural eye, that doesn't make sense. Through the natural eye, well, I don't like people saying, well, God told me this and God told me that. God does speak to you through the Spirit. Amen. He does. The Spirit of God will bear witness. How do you think it does that? How do you think it does that if it doesn't talk to you? No, you don't get out of the realm of the Bible and try to make up your own religion, but he does talk to you. The wind, and Jesus goes on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You're not going to understand it sometimes. You don't know where it's going to come from, but it's there. Jesus was talking to disciples about false doctrine over in Mark 8:21. If you go over and read, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he was talking to them and he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Go over and read that sometime over Mark 8:27. I think it's also in Matthew. Whenever they were talking about false doctrine, and Jesus told me, he said, how do you not understand? Why? Because they did not have the Spirit of God in their lives to make it understand. That wouldn't come to later on because they were carnal. They would not see. They would not see through the prism of spiritual eyes until after the day of Pentecost. Jesus explained it in John 16:13 when he said this, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show things to come. That's why. That's why. After the happenings of Acts chapter 2, they were different people. They were different people. Amen? They walked. I believe that after their encounter, can I tell you this? I believe we're going to see Nicodemus in heaven one day. The Bible doesn't say this. We're going to see Nicodemus in heaven one day because I believe the Word of God got into his heart. You'll find him in two other places in John. If you look, you'll find him one time. He's standing up. He said, would anybody hear somebody without listening to him because of two? He said that over in John. I think it's the 7th chapter. If you go to the 19th chapter of John, what does old Nicodemus do? He goes, gets the body of Jesus. He takes him and he anoints him for his burial. Amen. He said he put 100 pounds of precious ointment on him. You know how much that would be worth today? Just comprehend that. $50 million of oil he poured on him. $50 million of oil that he poured on Jesus Christ. Just comprehend where he went from here to where he was at. I believe, honestly, I believe one day we will see Nicodemus in heaven. I do. And I believe that the only reason why is because he got born again. I believe that he listened to the words of Jesus there whenever Jesus said, if I be lifted up. He was talking to Nicodemus whenever he said this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I believe Nicodemus stood back on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, and I think he's seen him hanging on the cross, praise God, and I believe he said, I understand now that if he be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, praise God, and that's what Jesus did. He said, you must be born again. Amen? You must, conviction. You don't hear much about Holy Ghost conviction anymore. Most of it being, can I tell you something? Conviction is not salvation. Conviction is where you wish you're saved. Where you're hoping that you're saved. I've noted people under conviction so bad that they thought they were sick. They went to the doctor. I've noted people so bad under conviction that you know what? They couldn't wait to get to the church the next night. They were waiting on the doorsteps whenever the church opened up for revival on the next night because conviction had fell on their hearts so bad. Folks, are you hungry for the convicting power of God to come upon your loved ones nowadays? Are you that hungry for it? Nicodemus had all the religion he could handle. Are you that way here this morning? Have you had all the religion you can handle? Have you had all the law that you can handle? Have you had all the things that's missing in your soul? Do you have something that's missing way down deep in your soul here this morning? Because if you are, praise God, you must be born again. That's what he said. Folks, you can fill yourself up with these things, and it will not matter. Fill yourself up with things out here in the world all you want. Fill yourself up with religion all that you want. You can do that until you're blue in the face. And it will not help you. It will not save you. You will not see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. If you don't have Jesus, you missed it all. Jesus healed all manner of sickness, did he not? Jesus healed those that were demon-possessed. Jesus did all manner of miracles. Remember the 70 that returned to him? Remember what Jesus said to them? Because they were just tickled to death that the demon, that the devils, it says, were subject to them. The demons were subject to them. In Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to unto you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. Can you say amen to that this morning? Praise God, just because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You must be born again. Nick heard that night and said, to this day, is the message that he heard is still resonating. And it should be resonating to everybody out there. The lost, those in the church that need to grow closer. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that they might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wroth with God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus that night. You'll see it. That's what he told him. I want to tell you something. What a sermon. That to me is the greatest sermon ever preached right there. Right there. And that man come to him at night just asking him. He said, trying to get a question across to him. Just trying to make a statement to him. But he got more than what he bargained for. I'm here to tell you this morning. I want to tell you something this morning. Listen. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You must be born again. You must be. And after it, you have to be born again to ever have hope of seeing the kingdom of heaven. Look at Jesus and live. Look at Jesus and live. Look to him and live this morning. That's the message. Nick at night had it right. Amen? He had it right. At the end. Praise God. Come and get a song. I got Tony who's going to sing a song for us as our invitation this morning. I've asked him to do that. If you have a need this morning, I ask you please to come. Let those words resonate with you. Ye must be born again. That's the only hope. That's your only hope.